Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's day 5 of the Euros. Today I'm in Dortmund. Just took the train from Cologne, hour and a half, on the ice. It does like 150 miles an hour. Still ticked off about buying that stupid Eurorail ticket, though. Because did the ticket inspector come around? And no, he didn't. $150. Oh, been better off keeping the money in my bloody pocket. Anyway, Dortmund. The Westfalen Stadium. BVB Stadium. I mean, they do call it Signal Iduna, but I'm never going to call it that because it will always be the Westfalen Stadium to me. The Yellow Wall, where Borussia Dortmund play. The Yellow Wall, where 25,000 fans stand and create one of the most pulsating atmospheres in all of football. Now, unfortunately, UEFA and FIFA in all their, what do we call it? In all their, certainly not brilliance, in all their manic thoughts on safety, make it all seating now. But it's still something special. Back in 2006, yes, 18 years ago, I came to this stadium twice and really was one of those life-changing moments. Now, it sounds really corny, but the first time I came here was for Germany-Poland, and I spoke about that on day one with Oliver Hintz and how the whole atmosphere of the World Cup really changed in that moment when Oliver Nerval scored in practically the last minute to beat Poland, and obviously Germany and Poland with their historical rivalry. Don't need to go into too much detail over that one. But yeah, it was just incredible. And I came back to the stadium a couple of weeks later and saw the best match I think I've ever seen live, which was Germany-Italy World Cup semi-final. Doesn't really get any bigger than that. And Grosso's goal in the 118th minute. If you get a chance, go to YouTube. Type in Grosso goal versus Germany, Italian commentary. It will blow your mind. It will really blow your mind. It's one of the best pieces of commentary, even though I don't understand a bloody word of it, that I have ever heard. And then Alessandro Del Piero put the finishing touches on just a really sexy counterattack, and the hosts were out. It was rather cold-blooded, but still, what a game of football. So tonight, I'm here for Turkey versus Georgia. And, when I first saw the fixture, ho-hum. But then I realized that the largest ethnic population in Germany is none other than Turkey, Turks. And so on the way to the stadium, it's a 2-mile walk, but thank goodness for Lime scooters. it's a 2-mile walk uphill. I'd completely forgotten about that. But the Lime scooter did all the work, which was a really good job because yesterday I went and got a cortisone shot in my heel for my plantar fasciitis. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced plantar fasciitis, but it is really, really painful. But got a cortisone shot, 100 euros, worth every single euro. Doc said it takes about 24 hours for it to kick in, so I actually am on 24 hours right now, and it does seem to be working very, very well. Very happy about that, because I don't think there'll be any Lime scooters at the end of the game. But thankfully, it is downhill all the way to the station, although a good 2-mile trek. So keep your fingers crossed that there's a Lime scooter waiting for me somewhere outside the stadium. Although they do geo-block the scooters, so they're not allowed to be super, super close. But anyway, yes, the Turkish fans, I mean, they are here in force. And they're always good. Honestly, they're loud. They're really passionate. I go back to actually 2003. I was doing the Confederations Cup in France. and Turkey played the US. I think they beat them as well at the Saint Etienne Stadium, which is another great cathedral, really tiny stadium. I mean, it only holds about 30,000, but really, really atmospheric. And the Turkish fans were superb. So I'm looking forward to hearing them in full voice tonight. And of course, in the media center, lots of interesting people to talk with. And I found myself a young Brazilian lad
by the name of Breno Barzon,
who is currently working in Portugal. And, well, the first question had to be, can anyone guess? Yes, of course you can. Ronaldo or Messi? You should hear his answer.
Ronaldo, for sure.
Why?
I mean, I live in Portugal right now, so it has to be him. But at the same time, I love how Messi plays the ball. I know how different they are in terms of football and how great they are individually and for the whole sport. But right now, I'm a Ronaldo fan.
So how do you think Ronaldo has managed to maintain such incredible levels of consistency over a career that now this is his sixth Euro? I mean, I can't believe it. I saw him in his first Euro in 2004.
That's right. I think it's all about mindset. I think he's a really focused player. It's very clear what he wants for his life and what he wants for his career. So once you have this goal and the way that he deals with his goals and the way that he deals with the victories and when things don't go in a good way, I think he knows what he wants, and he's so focused on what is best for him, and you know, there's no other way for him, you know.
Now, obviously, he's 39. He's coming towards the end of his career. How much more can he give the team? Because obviously, in a friendly last week, he scored two goals, so he still knows how to find the back of the net. Do you think he's a starter here?
I think he's too important for the team because he's the captain. He's still the top player. He's still the one that gets the ball and knows what to do. So I think it's more than and what he can do for the other players. I think it's more what he represents for the country and what he represents on the field. You know, he kind of creates the strength of the group, basically. So he's very important for not only for the nation, but you know, inside the pitch for the club, for the team. He's very important. It's of course again. Is the star. He's still the star.
Look, enough about Ronaldo. Let's talk about the real star, you. How did you get here?
Nice. So I'm from Brazil, of course. My family is Portuguese. And I moved to Portugal in like 3 years ago. Started working with football again. In Brazil, I work in football in a club called Atlético Paranaense. I was the videographer there. And now in Portugal, I live there in Lisbon, and I work for Abola. So now I had the chance to come here to Germany to follow the Portuguese national team. And it has been incredible, like a great experience. I've never imagined, to be honest, being here and, you know, covering this a championship like this, you know, like it's very big, it's very important, and I hope I can meet people like you, you know, like get together with people like, you know, journalists, and you know, have fun and have a great experience.
So what does a day look like for you here at the championships as a videographer?
So it's very confused, to be honest. Everything is so urgent, and you have no time to plan, basically. Everything happens so fast, and you have to be really real quick to capture, you know, the moment. Here as a videographer, I've been following the national team, so it has been like
so you go to training?
So I've been following not only for the training but the press conferences as well. I've been with the team there at the hotel. So we are located in a hotel like 15 kilometers from the national team hotel in Marienfeld. And yeah, so it's been like a back and forth from hotels and cities, and we're kind of in a country area, like countryside area. So it has been like like adventures, like, to be honest, experience that I've never been to. And yeah, I mean, the life of a videographer in this kind of situations are a bit, I don't know, intense, I would say.
Do you get a chance to interact with the players and actually build relationship with the players?
Not really. I hope so in the future, to be honest. But right now it has been really difficult to be the press of a national team like Portugal, for example, because you have to compete with other big channels and big media platforms. So the players, of course, they cannot give us, you know, exactly. Yeah. So it has been a bit difficult, but I hope some player will be ready for us, you know, like for an interview. That would be awesome. That would be great.
So how do you attract the players? I've done the press line before, and they walk past, and you're like, Beckham, Owen, come here, and they just like blank you because if they don't know you, they don't speak to you. So how do you attract a player?
Okay, so this is gonna be my first time doing that because in the mixed zone. So when we have a press conference, it's a bit different because, you know, the players is already there. We are seated, and we can ask a question whenever we want. We have a right to the question. When we're in the mix zone, we need to be careful because sometimes the player, they cannot stop. Someone tells him that, no, you cannot stop for an interview. So it might be in a situation where we are waiting for like an hour or two, and the player is not looking at us at all. Like, so he's just like going straight into the bus or, you know, whatever. So it will be an experience that I really hope that it will work because I don't want to lose time. Like, just I don't want to lose time just waiting for a player, and he's just don't give us anything.
I'll be covering the Turkey Portugal game later on in this tournament. But what's success going to look like for you? When you leave Germany and you go back to Portugal, what would success look like?
The trophy, of course. So.
But personally.
Of course. So again, I've been really anxious to be here, to be like a whole month or like 20 days away from my family, away from my home. But what I noticed and what I realized is that being here already, it's a privilege. It's something that I'm already really happy about it. But like I said, of course, being with the players and seeing that not only me, but the whole team of the newspaper and also the country of Portugal, if they're happy, if they're content with, if they're, you know, happy with the results, if they're happy with our work, of course, it will be something that I'll be really, really happy with, again, with the result.
From a Brazilian Portuguese lad, I next get a chance to speak to one of the most famous journalists in Turkey. Now, I can't really pronounce his name, so I'm not going to attempt it because he's going to say his own name for him. But this is a really fascinating interview about Turkish football. Enjoy.
Uğur Meleke, I work for Hürriyet Daily. I'm a writer for Hürriyet Daily, and I'm panditing for beIN Sports Turkey.
Fantastic. The Turkish national team, I remember them in 2002. I was at the World Cup. Hakan Suka, wow, what a player. But since then, it's been very tough for the national team. Why have they struggled over the last couple of decades?
We have two golden generations, exactly. One of them is, 2002 team with Hakan's, Okan Buruk, Emre Belezoğlu, İlhan Mansız. That was our golden generation, and they were third in the World Cup, and they won a UEFA Cup in 2000. The same team. And our second best generation, our silver team, the semi-finalists in 2008 in Switzerland, Austria. A country like us can't be too stable, I guess, because we're not Germany, Italy, or France, or Spain, producing very good players every time. Time to time, we find good generations, and time to time, we can be successful in football. But I have a feeling that this is our third good generation, this team.
This is, it's really interesting you say that because I look at Turkey. I've been to Istanbul for the derby game for Fenerbahce Galatasaray. Mind-blowing experience. There's so much passion for the sport. It's a big country. I'm surprised that Turkey doesn't produce more players. Why do you think that is the case?
The clubs produce the players. The national teams only select them. If you want clubs to produce players, you have to give more chance to Turkish players. But our biggest clubs use foreign players mostly in their starting 11s, 8 or 9 foreigner players usually plays. Maybe the first problem is that our young prospects can't fight too much good chances in Fenerbahçe, Galatasaray, Beşiktaş, the biggest teams. And the second main problem, maybe we find good players, but we cannot find good coaches. After the World Cup coach Şenol Güneş and the semi-finalist of the European Championship Fatih Terim, we couldn't produce any other Turkish coach. Second problem, we can't produce too many good coaches because it's about organization and we are not too organized as Germany or as United States.
So I was saying there's a lot of money in Turkish football. You bring in a lot of international stars. But how do the fans feel about their teams not having a real Turkish soul, especially the Galatasarays, the Fenerbahçes of the world?
Can you please repeat the question?
So there's a lot of international players that come to Turkey, but the big teams don't have a real Turkish soul. There's not a lot of Turkish players. So how do the fans identify?
In Turkey, the football fans actually don't love football. They love winning. Only they want the 3 points. They don't want anything else, mostly. So they don't need a Turkish soul. They need a club soul only. They are their nationality is Galatasaray nationality or Fenerbahce nationality, not Turkish nationality actually. So Turkey is that kind of a country.
It's interesting you say that because I look outside and it's all Turkey fans. I mean, so there's obviously a huge soul there. Fenerbahce Galatasaray was the game I went to see. Fenerbahce just signed Jose Mourinho. What fan are you? Do you have a team that you support?
I support a second tier team. Its name is Gençler Birliği. Not an Istanbul team. It's an Ankara team. That's where I studied high school and I played football in amateur level. The fans you saw outside mostly lives in Germany or European countries. They are expats here. Most of them are not coming from Turkey. So the soul you see outside is Turkish European soul, not the Turkish Turkish soul. About Jose Mourinho, one of the best coaches in the world. Maybe he's in top 10. Of course, he will add some quality to Fenerbahce, to Turkish football, to Turkish league, exactly. And he was very sympathetic in his first days. He knows about the league, he knows about the team, he knows about the players. He made a good start in Turkey. Of course, if we have stars like Didier Drogba or Wesley Sneijder or Jose Mourinho, Turkish league will improve. The other countries' fans we'll always take a glance at Turkish league, take a look at Turkish league. 10 minutes ago, Abola journalist come to me and ask about Jose Mourinho. If Jose Mourinho wasn't in Turkey, they wouldn't recognize me or they wouldn't ask any questions, or maybe you would not. So, of course, Mourinho will add quality to our league.
The Istanbul derby, just want to quickly touch on it. Fenerbahce Galatasaray. I went to the Fenerbahce to the east. And one of the things that struck me, it was quite amazing, really, because I'd gone to Argentina a couple of months before to see Boca River. And what I noticed in that particular derby was how much Boca fans love Boca. What struck me most about Fenerbahce Galatasaray was how deeply hated the Fenerbahce fans with the Galatasaray fans. The whistling, I've never heard noise like that. Can you describe that what that derby's like?
In kind of a derby, Celtic and Rangers, there is a distinction about religion. In a derby like Liverpool and Manchester United, there is a distinction about classification, about class of living. In a derby like Fenerbahce and Galatasaray, actually there is no difference. They are brothers and sisters. One's mother supports Fenerbahce and father supports Galatasaray. He supports Galatasaray because his uncle got him Galatasaray jersey when he was 7 and otherwise. And I can really understand, while there is no distinction between Fenerbahce and Galatasaray, how they can hate each other that deeply. I really understand. I ask that question to myself too. But Turkey is kind of a country can have a distinction easily. In the 80s, we have political problems, and there were left side of politics and right side of politics, and there were really serious problems in the country. We can easily divide in two pieces, and nowadays it's football. It's football divides us. I cannot really understand it. I ask the same question to myself too. And my sister supports Fenerbahce, my brother supports Galatasaray. Even in my family, there is this case.
So do the two clubs, do they have a political leaning then?
No. Nowadays, there is no political difference between Turkish clubs. Maybe the difference between Fenerbahce, Galatasaray and Beşiktaş only reflects the childhood choices. Nothing besides that. Only childhood choices.
Last question, and it's going to be a tricky one. Obviously, Turkish football's been in the news quite a lot recently, but not for the right reasons, for, you know, crazy presidents coming on the field, creating all kinds of havoc. What do you think was causing that, and can the Turkish Football Federation move on from that and create an environment where everybody's peacefully coexisting?
There is the worst Turkish Federation ever working now, and there is an election on July 2024. I hope it will change and there will be a better federation president. I think one of the main problems is that the clubs, the fans, the players don't trust the federation these 2 or 3 years. But of course, you don't have the right to come into the pitch and punch the referee in any circumstances. That's a shame for all of us. That referee is here in Germany, Halilumut Meler. He's in Germany. He officiated Slovakia-Belgium game yesterday. He's our number one referee. Got that punch from Ankara Gücü president, a club president, which is also a politician. AKP politician. The party who is running Turkey for 20 years. So I think it is the core of the problem.
This will be the last question. I have a friend, Adem Öztürk, Turkish descent. His parents were Turkish. He lives in LA. His daughter, Gemma Öztürk, is part of the under 17 women's team. Very exciting for them. Very quickly, talk about women's soccer in Turkey and where you think it can go.
Women's soccer is improving very, very quickly in Turkey. Before 10 years, we were playing international games and having scores like 0-8, 0-10, 0-15. But nowadays, they are all successful in all ages groups. And I have a friend who coaches Turkey under 17 team. Her name is Ceylan Nazlı Demirbağ. She's the coach of Turkish women under 17 team. She was an ex-footballer too. I talked to her and our women football is improving very, very quickly. I know United States is the best in the world and I've been in there and I've seen all little children, mostly the girls playing soccer everywhere. They are very good on that case, but Turkey is improving very quickly. We are going 10 years in every year, I guess.
It really is such a treat hearing about football from a completely different perspective. So that led us to the game, Turkey versus Georgia. And I gotta say, it was absolutely fantastic. The atmosphere in this stadium was completely off the hook. It was the game of the tournament so far. We saw the goal of the tournament so far. And we definitely had the atmosphere of the tournament so far. Just simply spine tingling. I'm going to give you some sounds. First of all, it'll be some lineups. Then I'll give you the anthems. And then one of the goals. Mind-blowing stuff. Pretty cool, huh? And then there's sometimes you get really lucky, like incredibly lucky, with Georgia throwing the kitchen sink and pushing everybody forward. They sent their goalkeeper forward for the last kick of the game, and there was only a breakaway, wasn't there? Only a breakaway and an empty goal, and I managed to get it on my phone. So here's the breakaway. Enjoy it. So, 3-1 to Turkey, and the Westfalen Stadium delivers again. Honestly, I've been there 3 times now, and I've not seen a bad game, and every single one of them has been atmospheric off the charts. I can honestly say, hand on heart, the Westfalen Stadium is my favourite stadium in the world. And so that's day 5 in the books. Tomorrow, hopefully, keep your fingers crossed, back in Cologne, for Scotland against Switzerland. Currently, Cologne looks a lot like Glasgow. There are literally, I guess the latest count is 100,000 Scots are in Cologne. They are drinking the place dry, and they'll play Switzerland at the Cologne Stadium tomorrow. Desperately hoping to get a ticket for that one. If not, I'll be in the FanFest. So, hope you're enjoying this trip in Germany and the Euros. I'll be back tomorrow with day 6. Bye for now.